Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Bowhunter Chronicles podcast brought to you by Huntworth. Huntworth bringing you quality clothing and packs at a price you deserve. Check them out at huntworthgear.com. Man, today's podcast, I think I say it later on in the podcast, but if it doesn't get you pumped up for like going out, going on an adventure, kind of throwing caution to the wind, hunting a place that you've never hunted before, man, I don't know if it's for you. This dude, so Lane's been on the podcast before. He was on with Johnny Stewart, met him. You know, he's one of the guys you have met in person, heard a lot of good things about him from like Greg Litzinger and a lot of the East Coast guys. And met him in person down there, met him again when we were back in PA. And the dude is just a riot, young kid, getting after it. But I think he kind of embodies everything that we kind of talk about here on the podcast about like seeking out adventure. Like he says he's really cheap. He spends his money on tags and gas. He's just getting out there and trying to have these experiences and learn. And he's not an expert, but he's a killer and a super humble guy. Did an amazing thing, you know, killed four turkeys on public land in three different states in 4 days. So, I mean, and he says he's not a turkey guy. So I think this podcast is going to be a fun listen for everybody. And on here, we are talking about just kind of going into like my normal intro stuff. The hunting turkeys with a bow, with no blind and being hard. And a hunt that I was going to go to, and I hunted this morning, no blind bow, completely screwed it up. That'll be on the next podcast. But everything did well. And the Huntworth gear, one of the things that I was recounting this story to John, and he's like, the Huntworth camo must have worked. I called these turkeys in, you know, no blind. I was sitting in the shadows, but after I missed this bird, took some feathers off, his buddies were beating up my Jake decoy at about maybe 6 or 7 yards. And I'm moving around in there, got my phone up, and the turkeys did not care one bit. So the camouflage, this tarnin pattern, probably my favorite one that they have, worked like a T this morning. It was just the guy behind the bow failed. Everything worked. But it was fun. It's going to be fun to tell you the story and how stupid I am. And, you know, Lane and I talk about some of those similar things on this podcast. And I know you guys are going to love it. We got to give a shout out to the Patreons. Like, we're finally getting this bear hunt nailed down for 2024. We've got the dates for the 2023 Patreon hunt. So if you guys are Patreons, get a hold of me so I can get you the dates. We can start coordinating on that. We've got TAC coming up. We're going to be up there, with hanging out with some of our sponsors. Genesis 3D is going to be up there. Latitude's going to be up there. Zinger with their Kanadi arrows are going to be up there. And it's always a fun time. So come find us. I think Lane's going to come up and hang out with us. Greg Litzinger is going to be up there figuring out our cookout again this year. Going to be Saturday. But as always, you got to find it to be there. We're usually not that hard to find. Hit me up and we'll direct you. But, you know, Huntworth gives away a set of their clothes every quarter. Kanadi Arrows gives away a dozen arrows and zingers. Spartan Forge, I was using that to scout the last time, putting pins on there where these birds were roosted. Best imaging in the land. Check them out at spartanforge.ai. They give away a year-long membership to their service. Lucky Buck, they give away either their mineral, and if you can't use their mineral, you get some of their seed. Vitalized Seed, we've got that going in the ground in Wisconsin and the UP right now. Really excited to see what that does, not only now but for in the future as well, because what that does is help to build the soil. But they give away some of their seed. I know I'm forgetting somebody. Big Shot Targets. Big Shot Targets gives away a target. And we're going to be having them back on to talk about their indoor, I forget what they call them, like the like movie style targets. Like, so you set up the targets and then you've got the motion. You can take your own trail cam pictures, your own videos, and you can put it into the system and you can shoot at those animals. So super cool stuff there from Big Shot. But they give away one of their targets. Who else am I forgetting? I mean, I've got to be forgetting somebody. I feel like NASCAR guy. But all of these companies, Latitude gives away a set of their sticks. You know, all stuff that we use, guys that we like. We talk about it on the podcast here about Lane coming and hanging out with the Latitude guys and, meeting up with the Big Shot guys there and in PA. These are all companies that, you know, I've become friends with. I believe in these companies. I believe in these people. And they give back to the Patreons. And that's because you guys support us. So if you want to be part of that, you want to be part of the Marco Polo community, check that out at patreon.com/ Bowhunter Chronicles podcast. You can check it out on our Instagram, on their website, any of that stuff. But this podcast right here with Lane, you guys are going to be jacked to hear this kid and how excited he is and what a cool story. But as always, thanks for listening. All right, everybody, Adam back with another episode of the Bowhunter Chronicles podcast. And today we got a return guest on here. The last time he was on, he didn't say a whole bunch, but we got some questions for this boy. Lane Hausner, this guy's a killer, just a straight killer. So how you doing, man?
Oh, I'm not too bad, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I had to work today.
Is it recording?
Yeah, it was recording. Okay. You're frozen there for a second. But we're doing good.
Oh, gotcha.
Had to work today, so I didn't get to hunt this morning. Hunted the last 2 days and was tired. Tired, you know. But
I know, buddy. I know.
But Lane, so one of the things that I like about, like, Lane is like an infectious dude. Like, he's got like so much energy, like so much positivity. And the one thing that I think about when I think about Lane is last year, like I met him at the Mobile Hunting Expo, and then he was on the podcast down there. But I was talking to him about the film festival, because you film and all that stuff. And I was like, "You got a film in here?" And he's like, "No, man, it was like $25 to enter, and I didn't really have $25. I'm like, dude, so this year, Lane, if you don't have a film in the festival, like, yeah, I'll back you, buddy. I got your $25.
Cool, man. Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm like, my whole life pretty much about just saving money and, like, you know, just keep hunting pretty much, you know. So like, any money I get, I just make sure it goes to like what I actually like doing instead of like stuff that I don't need. You know what I mean? So like, for me to put up a film in the film contest, rather just pocket that $25 and like buy a PA tag with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I hear you. Like, so, you know, we talk a lot about gear and stuff on this podcast. So like, from that standpoint, and I guess that goes into one of the questions that I've had in the back of my mind for like a while, like since meeting you to like watching your videos till like right now, I was like, dude, I got to ask, do you need a new, I think it's got, it's hard to tell, but it might be like a Buffalo Sabres hat.
Oh my God. No, dude, I got this hat. The first time I ever went to Jackson Hole, I believe it was like 2015. And dude, like, this hat has been through every stage of my life, dude. You know what I mean? Like, through when I was playing like college hockey for a couple semesters, dude, I had, like, I got pictures with it in there, dude. Like, every single animal I've pretty much killed has been with this hat on. Dude, it's rough looking. Like, my girlfriend gives me so much crap. She's like, it's purple now. Just get rid of it. She got me a Flyers hat. And like, you know, I don't even wear that thing. I ain't going to lie to you. But like, dude, I just can't, like, I love this hat, man. It's like just my lucky hat, you know what I mean? It's falling apart though, dude. It's falling apart. Like, at some point here in the next probably year and a half, I'm probably gonna have to retire it or try to get my grandma to patch it up or something. I don't know, man. We'll figure it out when it happens.
Is that what it is though, a Sabres hat? Because I'm always looking at it, I'm like, oh man, like, I don't know.
No, I hate the Sabres, dude. I hate the Sabres. I'm a Flyers fan, but it's just like some fly fishing shop we went into at Jackson Hole, and they just had this cool buffalo hat, and I was like, sick. It was like brown, yellow, and like, it looked sick at the time, you know. Now it's all faded out and just looks purple, and like, I looked at the Bison the other day, dude, the Bison's like full-on yellowish brown, dude. Like, it never started out as that color, man. It's just all the years, all sweat, dude. Yeah, I don't know.
That's freaking awesome. So from like a gear standpoint, like, we've done a couple podcasts on it and talked about like this infatuation with gear, and like people saying, okay, well, that's what they can control, right? So rather than like time scouting or time in the woods or like buying tags, they're like, well, if I buy like this cool new stuff, that'll probably help me, or it'll make me feel better about not killing anything or whatever. And I'm guilty of this too. It's not like I'm throwing stones here, right? So for you, like, what's your, like, for all hunting, because like, we'll get into it, but you said like, I'm a deer guy, not a turkey guy. So like, what are your like main, like, must have items aside from a quality lucky hat for, you know, that really move the needle versus, you know, like some of this gimmicky stuff or whatever?
Dude, sticks are a big one, man. Sticks, you know, saddle platform. I'm a saddle hunter, obviously, so like, you know, my saddle's real important, my backpack real important to me, like, you know, I won't go in the woods without that. Good set of boots. That's pretty much it, man. Like, camo wise I mean, everything I got is pretty much from Walmart or like got it somehow discounted. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a straight cheapskate, man. Like, I ain't gonna lie to you. So like, if I can save a penny on that, like, yeah, sometimes, dude, I'm miserable in the woods. You know what I mean? I got no base layers on, no nothing. I got a pair of those Wrangler. I don't even know what you call them, but like those like athletic pants that you get at Walmart for like 20 some bucks. Mm-hmm. Dude, I got a bunch of pairs of them. I love them for like early season. And then as like winter starts coming on, we start doing more drives and, you know, snow's falling. I mean, obviously it gets cold here in PA, you know. I have a pair of like insulated Wrangler pants that I rock. And dude, they keep me warm. And like, yeah, for me, it's like, not really. Like, I'll just suck it up. I'd rather be colder than hotter. Like, I'd rather be like just freezing than like just totally dripping sweat. You know what I mean? So like, I can suck it up. I'm pretty tough. I ain't gonna go out of the woods just because I'm miserable. I'm just gonna suck it up and be cold and could try to adjust for next hunt. You know what I mean? But yeah, as far as like equipment wise, must haves. Like I said, you know, everything pretty good except my clothing wise.
And so like, what's your like go-to backpack, you know, or like the sticks you're running, what saddle, all that stuff?
Yeah. So, I ain't gonna lie to you. Last year I was running the Trophy Line. What is it? The CAY pack with like the saddle thing. I don't even know what you call it, but yeah, I got that. And then I got tethered freaking like Predator One platform that I got when I did my internship with the Untamed. I'm still rocking that thing. I love it. You know, I wrapped it all in the paracord so it like keeps my feet nice and warm, and it's quiet too. And then saddle wise I'm using that Dryad Mini, and dude, that thing's like last year it was awesome, man. I ain't gonna lie to you. Like, dude, it's just so nice because I can put it right in my backpack and I can go in and it takes up no room whatsoever. When I get to my tree, pull it out, climb up it and hunt, or if I'm hunting on the ground, heck, just leave it in there. I mean, it weighs nothing, folds up into, you know, nothing. So yeah, that's kind of my arsenal last year. This year I'll probably be running some Latitude stuff, I'm guessing, but I don't know yet. We'll see.
Cool. I heard those are pretty cool guys. But yeah, you know, what do I know, right?
Dude, that was fun at the Harrisburg show.
I know. With you guys. I know. You just roll up like, hey man, what's up? Like, yep. There's the beers. Like, let's go.
Yeah. Dude, I was feeling good after that, dude. That was fun.
That was a good time.
Yeah, it was.
So you say that you're a deer guy, right? Yep. And I think we talked last time, like, you killed a Sika and some other stuff. What does it mean to you to be like not a turkey guy? or what is like the definition of a turkey guy?
Well, like, dude, I ain't gonna lie to you, man. I haven't killed that many turkeys. I'm like, dude, if a Jake presents itself, dude, I'm taking the Jake, man. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, this year going into it, I was like, I ain't gonna hardly spend any time or like money chasing turkeys. Like, I'm gonna save all my pennies I can and like take off a lot during deer season. Really focus on deer season. So that was kind of my mindset going into it. And like, turkey's awesome. Don't get me wrong, but like, it's just not like deer, dude. Like, there's just something special about deer. Like, I can't even like, you know, say words for it, but dude, it's just like, there's nothing like a crisp November morning or like end of October, man, when they start hitting those scrapes, dude. Like, it, yeah, there's just something about deer. Like, far as like what I'm saying would be a turkey killer, like someone like, I don't know, you ever hear like Derek Anderson from like Bayside Legion or like Bon Stanley? Like, dude, those boys are straight up turkey killers, man. Like, they just put all their time and effort into turkey hunting. You know what I mean? Like, Bonce did the 49. I think he completed it last year. And I believe Derek's at like 46 right now. So, I mean, he's going to complete it probably next year. And yeah, I mean, to me, in my eyes, like, those are true like turkey killers. You know what I mean? And dude, it's all what you want. You know what I mean? There's people that love waterfowl hunting. Dude, I could care less about waterfowl. You know what I mean? If I get invited out one time this year, you know, never, dude, so what, dude? Like, it's just waterfowl. But like, dude, I cannot go without deer hunting, man. But now that I killed those four birds, dude, the turkey's a little bit more on my mind now. You know what I mean?
And but, why do you think that is? Do you think like, because like, look at it from my perspective, or like from the listener's perspective, or from, you know, hell, Lane a month ago, right?
Yeah.
Like the 49, or traveling out of state to kill turkeys where you don't know where they're at, or like you're not a turkey guy, or like, yeah, you know, I want to spend my time and everything for deer.
Yeah.
Going and killing four birds in 3 days in three different states, like, now maybe does it seem more attainable?
Oh, dude, 100%, man. I've been actually like researching it hard, dude. Like, I've been like looking at Florida. Like, next year I'll complete the slam. I should have done it if I would have been smart. Like, all this whole trip came up kind of just last minute. My brother like went out to Fort Sill for a boot camp, and then he told me he was graduating May 5th. So like, I mean, I didn't really know till like March, you know what I mean, that I was like even going to be going out there. And I was like, well, screw it, man. I might as well go out and try to kill something. So I just started like researching it hard, and came up with, all right, I'm gonna go hit Kansas first. You know, my initial plan was, all right, I'm gonna try to hit Kansas and probably just spend like my whole week there pretty much, you know what I mean, and try to kill a bird. And if not, heck, I'll put miles on deer scouting, you know what I mean? At least it'll pay off deer scouting. And then I killed one there, and then I was like, well, screw it, man, I want to keep killing stuff. So I was like, I'm going to roll down to Oklahoma and try to get me a Rio. So I went down to Oklahoma that same day, put one to bed, hunted him the next morning, and got close to him, and then killed in the evening. And then after that, I was like, I met some boys from Arkansas. So I went back to their camp, was just, you know, hanging out, drinking some beers and stuff. And then all of a sudden I got this wild edge to like, got to New Mexico, dude. And they're like, come film us in the morning. I was like, you know, we'll see. And then I pulled up on X, and I was like, dude, I could, you know, freaking kill something, or like just film these guys and just waste some more days, you know? So I pulled on my mapping thing and found New Mexico, found how much public they have. And I was like, screw it, dude. So I rolled out to Mexico at like 11:30 at night, got out there at like 4:30 in the morning, and pretty much just found birds that whole first day, and then went in the next morning and killed two.
So let's go into that trip. Like, when you decided that you were going to go out there, like, yeah, what, when you're going through like the planning process, and yeah, I know a bit of the story, but like,
yeah,
where, like, what's your mindset, right? So like, yeah, with deer, we're like, okay, well, we'll look, and we can look the record books, and we can see where lots of deer were taken. We can look at the areas that we want to hunt. We're going to look at the time of year that we're going to hunt, and we're going to say, okay, well, here's a pinch. Here's this looks like bedding. Like, this is where, yeah, I want to go. For going to, you know, at least one, yeah, of these states, you didn't have any clue that you were even going to go there, you, yeah, know, or so how are you like, as far as like, where are you going to stay? What are you going to eat? You know, you're going by yourself, like, yeah, time frame, right? So,
yeah,
what's the planning that goes into it?
Dude, a lot of map scouting, dude, a lot of map scouting. And like the reason I picked, so I was initially going to go out to just Oklahoma at first, but then I pulled up their licensing and it was like 180, right? And I was like, dang, dude, it's kind of expensive. You know what I mean? And I was like, well, let me see what other states are close by. So then I pulled up Kansas. Obviously, Kansas is like just north of Oklahoma. And I was like, you know what? I already have my hunting license for Kansas, so that saves me some money. All I got to do is buy a $60 turkey tag. You know what I mean? And dude, I'm set. So that's what I did. I just went out. Like, well, I guess I didn't just go out, but like I bought the $60 tag. And then pretty much my initial plan, I knew I wasn't going to, like how I like to drive out is I like to do it all just in one shot.
Have you ever been overwhelmed by the hundreds of food plot seed mixes out there? Well, you are not alone. And Vitalize Seed has developed a seed program that takes the guesswork out of food plotting. Vitalize Seed has two core mixes, the Nitro Boost and Carbon Load, to keep it simple. Nitro Boost is their spring-summer food plot mix, and Carbon Load is the fall plot mix, each having a diverse mix of over a dozen different seed types that are highly attractive to whitetail. Food plotting made simple, but it gets even better. Each mix provides necessary nutrients to the soil, making for better plots each season and saving you money by needing less Roundup and less fertilizer each season. The 1-2 system simplifies your food plots just how nature intended. Vitalize Seed, make biology work for you. Order now at vitalizeseed.com.
You know, I don't like it's, it was like an 18-hour drive or something. Like I woke up early in the morning, did it all in one shot. I knew I wasn't going to get out there and roost any birds or nothing. So like having that experience in Kansas, like deer hunting it, I kind of had this one area in mind. So I went back there. At least that was going to be my starting point, right? Since I walked out of the truck, dude, I was made it like 40 yards. And I heard these birds gobble, right? So like pretty much everything went out the window. I was just focused on these birds gobbling. After I killed there, then I was like, all right, now I really got to start focusing in like Oklahoma. So bought my tag. And as I'm going down to Oklahoma, man, I'm pulling up on maps and I'm just like looking where I think Rios are, right? And I'm also looking at, you can go online at the like Oklahoma DNR page or whatever and pull up like county records where it has the most turkey kills. And I was like, all right, I want to target the like top three counties pretty much, like that have the top kills, you know? So I found them and pretty much just started there. And a big thing out there is trees, right? Because like these turkeys, they got to roost somewhere and they got to have like the specific trees they want to roost. So if you find trees, odds are there's going to be birds, right? So that was kind of my game plan going into Oklahoma. Dude, I got lucky. I got there like super late. And as I was driving down the road to go to camp, oh, and also like camp wise, this is kind of random, but like, dude, I ain't really worried about camp. Like I'll just, wherever I sleep, I'm sleeping in my car. So it don't matter if I pull off the road or anything, like my car is my camp. So like I'm pretty mobile, you know, but yes, I'm driving down the road, headed back to like an area where I'm going to pull off and sleep right for the night. And all of a sudden, dude, like 30 yards out in this tree, a big tree. I was like, dang, there's probably going to be a bird roosting. And I like just peeked over and dude, something red caught my eye. And I was like, no freaking way. Is that a turkey? And you know, threw it in reverse real quick, drove back, threw my binos up, dude, sure enough, it's a bird. And I was like, no freaking way, dude. You know? So like right off the bat, I was pretty much in birds. And like, once I find birds, I'm not going to go leave birds to go hunt other birds that I have no idea where they're even at. Right. So pretty much all my focus was just in there. And then once I killed in there, then like going to New Mexico was pretty much the same thing. Like bought my license as I'm driving, you know what I mean? Like pulling up maps, and my maps ain't even loading, dude. Cause like North Texas and like West Oklahoma, dude, not the best service wise. So like I got a map to load, and pretty much there, like, everything's rural, deserty, and like prairie, right? So everything's brown. Everything looks nasty on the map besides like a couple chunks that I can see are green. And I'm like, all right, there has to be water there. There has to be trees there. There has to be turkeys there. So that's pretty much where I focused. I found like the first little green patch that had a bunch of public, and that was the closest I could make it there in like, you know, a couple hours. Drove there, and I was going to go out in the morning, but honestly, I was just too tired. I missed my alarm. And then when I woke up, I was like, well, what am I going to do? I'm pretty much SOL for the, you know, the morning. Cause I didn't hear any, you know, I didn't even hunt. So I was like, I'm just going to hit the pavement and just start driving around trying to find birds. And it like New Mexico is wild. Like they got a lot of public land that is just nothing, right? Like, you know, you'd hunt antelope on it, but like there ain't going to be any turkeys. And like, once I hit this little like river bottom or like drainage in New Mexico, dude, it was just turkeys galore, man. I mean, I was just finding them left and right. I mean, I don't even know how many birds I counted, but like it was probably over 30, 40 birds, you know, different birds. And I was like, all right, this is kind of the area I need to be. So I basically just put all my effort into that area and roosted a bird at night and went in the next morning and killed him. And then the second one was just dumb luck. You know what I mean? Just everyone gets an easy one once in a while. And I guess that was mine. But yeah, so that's pretty much my go-to like scouting thing. Trees, water, and there's going to be turkeys.
So prior to this trip, like how many turkeys had you killed?
Oh man, I'm probably only a handful, dude. Like a couple in PA, one in Ohio, one in West Virginia, one in Kansas. Like I think I only have like four states, maybe five states, you know what I mean, before this. And then once I went out there, you know, added another two, which was cool. Kansas was just a repeat state, but it was cool.
So for a guy who says he's not a turkey hunter, or like he's like killed like four or five states prior to this.
Yeah.
What were you doing that for before? Was that when you were like with the Untamed? Was it for filming for yourself? Was it for something? Or was it like, well, just I'm going to go hunt something now?
Yeah, just for fun, man. The Kansas one was like, when I was a guide, I met these dudes that came out to Wyoming. You know, they're from Kansas, and they're like, "Do we have a pile of birds? Come out and shoot one." And that was like my first bird I ever shot was in Kansas. I didn't film it, nothing, you know. And then after that, I was like, "Dude, turkey hunt, sweet, man." And I was never like Easterns back in PA, way tougher than Easterns, but out in Kansas, man. I don't care what anyone says, just a different breed. And then I started getting, you know, after that, I got kind of the turkey bug, and I started getting into it more. You know, started killing a couple birds, like. Just traveling, hunting, how I always do, you know, like I like to travel and hunt. That's how I've always been.
So what's the difference between like, say, I mean, what's the most pressured state that you've hunted birds in?
Yeah, Maryland. It's just cause dude, there is so many dudes and you got to think about it. Like Maryland opens before PA and PA has a lot of pressure. So what is everyone doing? Going down to Maryland to try to hunt, you know? So it's just like nothing but PA plates in the parking lot. And once PA opens, then pressure kind of dies down. But, you know, all the turkeys have been hunted for like a couple weeks, you know? So it Maryland's tough, man. Maryland is the toughest state as far as pressure wise.
Because I had heard you say when you were out west, there wasn't like a lot of pressure. You weren't hunting pressured birds. You were hunting like birds in their natural state. So like, you ran into some guys from Arkansas. Did you run into anybody else out there hunting birds? Nope. Or did you see people that were turkey hunting at all?
Nope. I was the only people I seen turkey hunting. And like, it was pretty much like, I was driving down this road, looking at my maps. And I was like, should I dive into this piece? I seen them blow past me. Right. And I'm like, I bet you like, you know how it is when you're out driving around and you're just like, kind of sense there's a hunter. Right. And you're like, what's that boy doing? You know, he's got like the first light sticker on the back of his windshield or the back of his truck, you know, like you're just like, all right, this boy's hunting. And then I was like, where's he going? And I was like, I was pulling up other public pieces and there was another stellar piece that I kind of wanted to check out. So I drove back in there. Sure enough, those boys were getting out. So I pull up next to them. I knew they were going in, but I was like, you guys coming or going? And they're like, going in. I'm like, oh, dang it. And I just drove off, you know? And then, I took a little nap, I think. And then as I was going out, like gas out there is really scarce, right? So as I was going out to get gas, I passed this private piece that's like everything out there is like all broken up, right? So this private piece is pretty much like surrounded by public. And dude, there's like nine birds in there, like two strutters, full blown, you know, all puffed up. And I'm like, no way. I was like, well, I'm gonna go get gas first and like, you know, see, you know, come back to them. I mean, it's only like 12 o'clock, right? So I go down, get gas, and as I'm leaving the town, I'm driving back, it's like a two-lane highway, all of a sudden, whoop, Arkansas truck, same truck, dude, blows past me, and I'm like, dude, don't tell me they're gonna go down that road, dude. Don't tell me they're gonna go down that road and see those birds, dude. So I'm freaking, you know, I'm pedal to the metal now, just on them, dude, like driving, like, what are they gonna do? What are they? I mean, I'm looking on maps, you know, and all of a sudden, boom, blinker comes on to turn left. I'm like, oh my God, dude, are you kidding? Like, it was down the exact road that I saw these birds on, you know, freaking dude. Luckily, they pull off, put his window down, and I roll up, put my window down. He's like, yo, are you, he's like, you turkey on? I was like, yeah, dude, like, you know. And I was like, are you the same boys that I saw before? And he's like, oh, yeah. And we kind of got talking a little bit. They didn't kill anything, but I got there. I was like, what's your number, man? Like, just in case, you know, I'm getting some stuff out here that, you know, I need some help or, you know, if you need help or whatever, you know. So I got their number. And he's like, you know, or I was like, when I left, I was like, do you want to go first or you mind if I go first? And he's like, oh, you can go first. And I was like, you know, just wheeled them, dude. Freaking dust flying, dude. And I'm like, all right, what do I do? What do I do? I was like, I'm not going to stop at this piece where their birds are. I was like, I know they're going to be there. I was like, I don't even want to make, I don't want to even like let these boys know that I seen them, right? So I just fly past it, dude, hit the stop sign, go through the stop sign. And also I look at my rear view and their truck just stops right there. And I'm like, oh man, they see these freaking birds, dude. So I pull into the first public piece, you know, I'm sitting there and also I hear their truck coming and he pulls in and he's like, dude, he's like, do you see those birds in there? I'm like, yeah, man, I saw him, you know, I saw him. He's like, yeah, man, they're always in there. He's like, we hunted here last year. Like, they're always in here, man. He's like, they ain't going off that oil pad at all. So, like, if you're trying to get on them on public, he's like, it's probably not going to happen. And I was like, yeah, all right, we'll see once. And, like, you know, we kind of just bullshitted for a little bit. And then they skedaddle. And I was like, you know what, I'm not even going to try it. Like, everyone has seen these birds. I was like, I got to go hunt, like, other birds. So went back to a spot that I pinned with, like, a hen track in it. And that's actually where I found, like, the turkey that I killed.
But that's wild.
Yeah, dude, it was odd. Like, dude, it was just like, it's kind of funny, like all the stories, like, and all like just the random people and the random things that happen on you out on these trips, you know what I mean? Like, it's just funny, man. It's crazy.
When you talk about that, like, so I've been hunting, you know, we bow hunt them, right? I haven't hunted with a gun. I haven't even hunted with anybody with a gun in like the last 4 or 5 years, you know, for turkeys. Cause I don't know, we've got some private pieces that are like super easy and we've got these big public pieces where there's tons and tons of birds, but same thing, you know, like what you're saying from PA, like just guys galore and fricks.
Yeah.
But the birds are always there. So I got a buddy from the Marines who had never turkey hunted before. And he was like, you know, he deer hunts, he bow hunts a little bit. And I'm like, you want to go turkey hunting? He's like, yeah, I'd love to. I'd never been. So he had a gun and we did some running and gunning last, like Wednesday. I think it was, I don't even know what day. Today's Thursday. So it's Tuesday. Tuesday we went. And, we went out and I went out the day before and there's these couple fields. There's birds, long beards in both fields. So I had to pick and choose. So I picked the one that was further away because I thought, and we drove separate and I almost had him park at the other field like we were in there.
Yeah.
And then hop in with me, but we didn't do that. So I picked the one, we went and there's birds gobbling off the roost, birds gobbling everywhere, which was kind of wild because for us, our season's been open for like a month at this point.
Yeah.
And everybody and their brother hunt this property. And so those birds were gobbling. We seen one other truck come in, but nothing. We moved, had some birds gobbling, kept moving. We'll go up to that other field and there's four toms like out in the middle of it, just full strut chasing around, going to breed this hen.
Yeah.
Sneak into the edge, start calling. And then another hen starts calling back right kind of by where we're at.
Yeah.
So sneak around and it's all water on the backside of this field. So we're walking through all this water. Like nobody's gone this way. Like there's nothing. Get over. And those birds are still out in the middle. I'm like, get set up, start calling. You know, then the hen starts, she comes right over to us. We spook her out of there. But those birds start just what I thought we were going to start pulling the hens over closer to us. You know, they kept pulling. All of a sudden, boom, boom. Somebody, I called them in for somebody else.
Oh, man.
And so we watched them take the bird and all that stuff. And then went out, we got on a couple other birds that were still gobbling, you know, like 9, 10 o'clock, you know, just on their own gobbling, not, you know, nobody around. And then we ended up calling in a hen, like right to us, like 6 feet away, probably. And, you know, but no birds. And it was just crazy to me, like how vocal they were. Cause we called in so that was Wednesday. That was Wednesday. Tuesday morning, we called in Longbeard, a Jake, and a little one on, some private. And they never gobbled. They gobbled on the roost and that was it. They never made a sound.
Really?
You know?
Yeah.
And they weren't pressured at all. But you talk about like things that happen on public or like the stories that you have, like that same piece of property years ago, I called one in when I was still hunting with a gun. I called one from like 600-700 yards away. I watched him come all the way across. I watched him cross the road.
Yeah.
Coming right to my decoys. He was like probably 80 yards from me and another dude shoots at him out of the pines that was parked right next to me. You know, he's seen my decoys and everything, you know? So, so it's just, it's wild, but that's sort of like running and gunning style, like is a lot harder to do with a bow. So I loved it. Like getting out there and just being able to like really move, mm-hmm. you know, on these turkeys and like have a, I don't know. I feel like you have a chance. Like you always got a chance, but like sometimes like I'll put the video up of your Kansas hunt. 'Cause that one's already on there. Yeah. But like how you moved and got into that, like log structure, you know, like all the falls and stuff, but like that doesn't always happen. Like sometimes mm-hmm. you just gotta be, you know, you're either like caught in the open or you just gotta find a tree or something. Yep. And like with a bow, that's so hard, you know, and there's just so much more fun, like doing it like you did there and you know, using the terrain and all that stuff. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. We used to bow hunt turkeys or like I used to back in like past couple of years with that Ohio lease, but dude, the price just got outrageous. So I actually like dropped that lease. But dude, bow hunting turkeys without a blind and like trying to run and gun style, man, the stars have to align, man. The stars have to align. And even when they do align, freaking rough, dude. It's hard.
Yeah, I killed my first one last year with a bow. And that's after 5 years, and I probably shot at 7 of them. You know,
I
mean,
I believe it.
So it's like one of those things where I guess I feel like, and I've said this before a lot, like any turkey, and I want to get your opinion on this because yours was a little bit different. Like now you're traveling out of state and doing all this stuff. Like any turkey that I shoot at or I miss or whatever, like there's a lot of smiles that go along with it. There's a lot of like, you know, it was a fun, you know, you had the opportunity, everything lined up and then you just messed it up. But there's no turkey that's like, you know, a Boone and Crockett or like a double drop time or like a turkey of a lifetime. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know, buddy. Dude, if I miss a big buck, dude, it takes years. Like I am pretty much borderline suicidal for like 3-4 weeks after that, dude. Like if, you know what I mean? Like I'm like just an emotional wreck, dude, like just freaking just the lowest of lows, man. Where it's like, dude, I missed like a turkey last year with my bow. And dude, it was like, I was heartbroken, but like, dude, it wasn't the end of the world. Like, you know, I was over it in like 2-3 hours, you know, I was like, you know, at least I cleanly missed him. I didn't like hurt him. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, dude. Deer's just like, there's something about deer versus turkey, in my opinion. Like turkey's way more just like, all right, man, let's go out and just have a good time. You know, where it's like, deer's like, all right, I'm here. I'm like stealth mode and we're going to kill something big, you know, like, and it's totally secret, like versus freaking turkey where it's like, oh dude, I don't care. Like I was calling like everyone, dude, after I killed these birds, dude, like everyone, man, just like, hey man, I haven't talked to you in years, man, but what's up? You know, I don't know. It's just fun.
Well, and I agree with you, you know, like, and I feel like, and you've been out elk hunting. So like, maybe you can like put the two together, but I think that mm-hmm. I think I'd be really devastated, like if I like messed up on an elk or something, just because you don't live out there, so you don't have mm-hmm. that many opportunities, right?
Yes.
But mm-hmm. I feel like because you can call them, because they're, I mean, you're not hearing a buck 200 yards away grunting or you know, doe bleating or anything like that, where elk and turkey, you know, you're like, oh shit, he's over there. Like, let's go. Yeah. You know, like, I feel like because they're so vocal, you're always like in the game. And I think that's maybe the deer is like elusive, like more elusive. Yeah. But I think there's also like a different measuring stick. Like, what is there a Boone and Crockett turkey?
Are you asking me? Yeah. In my opinion, not really, man. Like, if he has a rope and, you know, he's like, you can kind of see his spurs. I mean, but honestly, dude, like, I don't really look even at the spurs at all. Like, I'm not focused. Like, I'm just like, dude, oh my God, it's a rope, dude. Like, I'm killing this bird. You know what I mean? But it's not like, holy crap, dude. I think he's double bearded. Oh my God. You know what I mean? Like, dude, it's never like that. You know, it's just,
But I mean, there's like a Boone and Crockett for bears, or, you know, there's Boone and Crockett for other animals, you know, antelope and, you know, whatever. Yeah. Like, what is a record book turkey? Like, how do you know?
Like, I don't know. Like, do they take the spur measurement plus the, like, beard measurement and add them all together and get that's your Boone and Crockett? Or is it like, because I know bears, you like get the skull measurements, you know what I mean? But like, do they measure the skull? Like, I don't, maybe they do THP's thing where they just measure the whole bird, dude, and that's Boone and Crockett. It's 50 like, or something.
Like, this one is like almost 11 or so, right?
Yeah.
But this one is like 9 inches. And this is a hen. I shot a bearded dude, hen.
Yeah, the hen beards are like little. Dude, here, look at these spurs real quick. This is my first Kansas bird. I got them right here. Dude, like, you want to talk about freaking hooks, dude?
Oh,
I don't know if you can see. Oh, yeah. I don't know if you can see them or not. Oh, wait, where's my camera? Dude, they are hooks, dude. Like, straight up hooks.
And that's the thing is, like, I would love to kill a bird with, like, big spurs. Like, I've never killed... Everything here is, like... I think the biggest spurs on a turkey that I've killed is like an inch and an eighth or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Like nothing compared to like what you just showed me, like hooks.
Like, yeah, like inch and a half.
Yeah. Yeah. That, yeah. I mean, that's, that to me would be like super cool, but like you got to have like a spotter or something to be like, oh yeah, I think his hooks, those are definitely, know, he's a shooter, right? Like there's no way. And like, I was posed that question, like when we were up doing our, that live podcast, it was like, what do you do if a Jake comes in? I'm like, I shoot him. Like, I don't, like, I'm not passing on turkeys. Like, it, you know, whatever. Oh. One of the things though, that I was thinking from that Kansas video, right? With your setup and, you know, you're sleeping in the back of the truck and all that stuff. Like, you make the video, you're having a ball, you're getting the shots for all that stuff. And you like put that turkey. I'm like, he put his turkey right in his bedroom. Like you just lay the turkey like right in the back, like on top of all your stuff. Like what was your deal for like plan for like processing and, you know, get transport and like, cause turkeys are nasty. Like once you gotta break them down, that carcass is disgusting.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So, first and foremost, you don't even want to smell the inside of my Explorer right now, dude. Like it smells like a straight up turkey farm, dude. Or like, I can't even put a like smell to it or like a taste to it or like whatever, but dude, it is rancid, dude. Especially with the get hot too. Like it's like, I mean, everything's out, you know what I mean? Like I don't have any turkey parts in there, but she still freaking stinks, dude. I don't understand it. But yeah, pretty much I just broke them down, just disposed of the carcass. And then, you know, took the breast, took the legs and just, I had a cooler, you know, just put boop right in there.
Cause it's like, you know, most of the times, you know, you keep the fan, you keep.
Oh yeah. Well, I kept the fan. I ain't gonna lie to you, but like, I just put it, like, I just set it right in the corner, right next to like, so I kind of keep my clothes. So like my back seat, right? It's a bench seat. The one doesn't fold down or the one, they both fold down, but I kept the one up and I put all my like clothes, everything that was like pretty much essential right there. And then I put my sleeping bag, boom, right on the other side. So I was like flat out, right? And then when I wasn't driving, I had my like cooler up in my front seat. But when I was driving, obviously it was just sitting right in the back, like pretty much on my sleeping bag. And then to the left of my sleeping bag was pretty much dead space. So I have like my boots, my backpack, some chargers, like stuff that can get kind of dirty, you know what I mean, that I'm not super super worried about if it gets broken or like gets damaged or gets blood on it, you know what I mean? So pretty much I set the turkey right on the left side and just kind of had it right in there until I, you know, cut her up and got rid of it.
Cause that,
and that's where I put the fans too. Like I went out and got like plastic baggies. I put the feet, you know, I mean, obviously I kept the spurs, you know, put the feet in there, put the beard in there, put a little salt in there. And then I pretty much just like turkey, like fans stay pretty flexible for the most part, you know, until they like actually dry. So like, I just kind of just folded it up and tucked it in there. But yeah, that's kind of how I did it.
Cause like, that's one of the things, especially like, you know, in you can probably speak to this more than I can. Cause when we do it, it's a little less run and gunny. Like we're not sleeping in a vehicle. But like for deer, you know, like it's all well and good. You got your truck is packed up tight and you're going out there and then you shoot something. And especially like early season or when it's warm out, it's like, shit, man, now we gotta figure this out, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know, that's one of the things I was thinking about with temperatures, right? Because you weren't in like the cool areas and
no.
And just having four birds, like four, you know, bunches of turkey parts rolling around in your bedroom, right?
Oh yeah.
So overall, how long was your trip out there?
Left Saturday. Hunted Kansas Sunday, rolled to Oklahoma, killed Monday, Oklahoma. Yeah, killed Monday, Oklahoma. Then I rolled to New Mexico, killed New Mexico, I believe, Wednesday, and then rolled to pretty much like Fort Sill. Had that, it's right before boot camp graduation or like basic training graduation. I guess there's like a family day where you get to spend like a significant amount of time with like, you know, the person. So I pretty much like went back to Oklahoma right after New Mexico. It was like 6.5 hours. Got in Wednesday night, and then freaking my grandparents got an Airbnb, and luckily like there was, you can stay with us. So I was like, all right, cool. So put everything in the freezer, you know what I mean? Like actually got settled and yeah, spent family day with him on Thursday, Friday, and then left Saturday.
Didn't hunt your way back home. You had to work.
Nah, man, I had to roll, dude. Like I was trying to get back to hunt Saturday, like back in PA, but dude, it just didn't happen. So I had roller hockey games Sunday. So I just like slept and played like, I think, 3 hockey games on Sunday. Yeah.
So what's the next trip that you're going to take like this now that you're officially a turkey guy, right?
Oh, dude, I'm not a turkey guy, man. Like that's a load. Like, yeah, I was saying I might do the 49, but dude, I'm not even like, I ain't dead set on it. Like I'm just enjoying it, you know what I mean? But I'm definitely gonna start like trying to, you know, obtain it after a couple years. I think like I should be able to do it, but yeah, I'm not like I consider myself still a deer guy, you know. But next trip is, I haven't shot a Maryland bird, so I'm probably going to be trying to spend some time in Maryland here. It actually opens up all day. I believe it was like yesterday or it might have been today. So now you can hunt all day down there. So I'm probably going to try to spend a little bit more time down there, but I'm not going to like go crazy with it. Like I probably won't like take any more time off. Like, you know, I probably won't. And the next like big trip for me is Antelope in South Dakota, which is like early August or like it's end of August, my bad. So that's pretty much the next big trip, you know.
And what's the story there? Like, because John and I looked at that, like it was like mid-August, trying to go out there. Is that a draw or is it like just over the counter?
Yeah, yeah, it's over the counter. And I'm actually going, we planned this back in like 2020. I'm actually going with like an outfitter. So it's only like a 3-day hunt. This is like really my first like outfitted hunt, so we'll see how it is, man. My buddy went out there and he killed a goat, or actually I think he killed 2 goats, so like it should be, he was saying, he was like, dude, you're pretty much not like guaranteed, because you know it's obviously hunting and it's free range stuff, but he's like, you're guaranteed to probably shoot one, you know what I mean? Like you got a good chance of it. So yeah, it's all gonna be like water hole stuff and like pretty much just sitting, I'm guessing, you know. But I'm game to freaking spot and stalk some antelope. I don't care.
Yeah, that, well, and that'd be one thing too, because I mean you're already gonna have a tag, right, under these landowner tags.
No, it ain't landowner tags. It's just over the counter.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Like it's interesting that you say that, because my brother and I were talking about trying to do something this year, and he just texted me today while I was at work, and everybody in his party got drawn for South Dakota except for him.
What? That sucks, man.
Yeah.
Does South Dakota not do a group thing? Because I know, like, Kansas, you can put in for, like, with a group, you know what I mean? Once one person draws, you all draw.
Well, it's been, like, they've been going out there for a long time, and they haven't even, like, had to mess with it, because it was, like, it was a draw, but it was, like, a guaranteed thing.
So, yeah.
Apparently, they didn't do that, but that would be fun to go out there and spot and stalk some antelope.
Man, that'd be a blast.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out like what's on the docket for this year, because I want to go back to Ohio, and then I've been trying to figure out like somewhere to hunt early, like, but it's just, you know, kind of like where you're at, right? So I'm, you know, being in Michigan, like I'm thinking about hunting Indiana because it's like I can get down there in like about 4 hours, you know. That's, and then if you go to like the southern Indiana, but like spots we were looking at was like 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah.
In Ohio, that was one of the things, like they start pretty early, but they don't end until like February. So we went down there twice last year, like just kind of looking at it from like a, not like a budget, like money side, but like a time mm-hmm. thing, like where you don't have to commit 18 hours to drive out there.
Oh, and I
drive
know,
back, man. You know? So yep.
Driving takes up a lot of time, dude. It takes up a lot of time.
Well, and that, you know, when we went to Idaho and hunted, it was a 30 hour drive. And then coming back, like, oh, yeah. It's 30 hours, but like, even if you plan on it, there's like a 4 hour time change by the time yep. you get back. So it ends up being really like a 34 hour, you know, yep. so you're just, it's just, and by the time you're coming back, you're just destroyed.
Oh, you know? Dude, just gassed, man. Oh yeah. Trust me. I know, man. Especially driving all night through like we did. It was freaking rough.
So, but what I was kind of getting at with that turkey thing was,
yeah,
like, so now you got to kill Osceola for the slam. Right.
Yeah.
But if you were going to do like another big like turkey trip and
yeah.
and you weren't necessarily going to, because you've already killed in Kansas twice. Right.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
If you weren't like focused on the slam or yeah. not necessarily the slam, but like the 49, if yeah. if you decided like, OK, well, if I was going to like do the same like budget trip with mm-hmm. You know, for a guy that likes turkey hunting, wants yeah. to get out and travel,
and wants to kill some stuff and see some birds.
Yeah, like where would you go for the? I don't want to yeah. say like a sure thing, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But to be able to do that like quickly, would you go back to exactly where the way that you did it, or would you say like, you know, Montana, like, you know, whatever?
Yeah, I probably would, man. I mean, like. Relatively speaking, it was pretty cheap. I mean, all in all, I don't think any of the license cost me over $200. You know what I mean? So, like, as far as that standpoint, like, it was nice. You know, like, you get out of Kentucky, dude, that's $300. You know what I mean? Or, like, I'm not really too sure what other states are, but majority of them's like right in that $200-$300 range. So, like, hitting the Southwest and only spending, you know, $170, $180, $190 bucks on tags. Dude, that ain't that bad. And then you can shoot, you know, Eastern, you can shoot Rios, you can shoot Merriam's. I mean, they got everything kind of right down in there within like 10 hours, you know? So, yeah, that was my first time ever hunting like the Southwest. I mean, obviously, I said I hunted Kansas before, but like that's kind of Eastern Kansas. But like Oklahoma, man, and New Mexico, it's straight desert and like prairie. And like, it is awesome, man. I was like, New Mexico, dude, there's nothing like roosting birds and seeing like elk in the field and like antelope. And then you're driving, you see some muleys, you know. I was also watching whitetails when those birds were going up, you know, like, dude, just the amount of like game is just incredible, man. So like, if you want to have a fun trip, be pretty cheap, I would definitely hit New Mexico. Like it's just fun for me just trying different turkeys, like, and also hearing them got like the different gobbles, dude. Like that Eastern is so freaking hard and strong, you know what I mean, compared to that Rio, which is like kind of drawn out. And then that Merriam, dude, it's like real long and drawn out and just quiet, you know what I mean? Like if you're standing up on the ridge and he gobbles in the bottom, you're probably not going to hear him, man. You know, like you got to be real close to these birds to hear him. Like he gobbled and I was looking at him at like 75 yards away and dude, it sounded like 100, 150 yards. And I was like, holy crap, dude. Whereas like if I was looking at that Eastern bird and he hammered at 75, dude, I would have been like, oh man, he's rams on me at 20 yards. You know what I mean? Like it's just, yeah, it's just cool. I would definitely recommend doing that little swing again. Like that was fun. My buddy Roy from like, he was a THP intern a couple years ago. He's actually up in South Dakota, he hit Montana, and then he hit Wyoming, and now he's down in Oklahoma right now. So, like, that would be a cool trip, too, you know? Like, you're hunting, like, straight Merriam's in South Dakota, Wyoming, and I think Montana, too. And then, you know, you hit Oklahoma for Rios. Dude, that'd be a fun little trip, too.
So, what species of animal have you hunted? How many?
Hunted?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, pretty much everything besides antelope, mountain lion, and moose, pretty much. I mean, it's like I never goat either, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not rich, but, like, I wouldn't even – on my, like, bucket list hunts, dude, for some reason, like, goat and sheep, dude, they don't really appeal to me too much, probably because I know I'm never actually going to ever be able to afford them. But, like, yeah, like, it's just never really been, you know, huge for me to do. Like, I definitely want to kill a moose and a mountain lion. And obviously I'm going to hunt antelope this year, but yeah, like I mean, dude, I've hunted a bunch, man.
Right. And I'm aware of that. And that's why I'm setting you up for this question, because you said you were like a budget minded guy, right?
Yeah.
And we were talking about it, like we're gonna do, so we had our public land deer camp for our Patreons, and it was freaking amazing,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like from a camp standpoint,
yeah.
But we were talking about trying to do something like that out west, and we were trying to figure out like, oh, could we go hunt turkeys out west or something like that? Mm-hmm. But for like you were talking about the cost of tags, all that stuff, I think we're gonna do a spring bear hunt.
Oh yeah, that's
out cool, there because the tags like. You know, maybe $25 more than a turkey tag. So it's like, you know, it's cool that you came home with a bunch of turkeys, but if you came home with a bear skin, you know, like different, you know, not apples to apples. So for you, with all the hunting that you've done and traveling out of state, going west, going south, going all around, from a budget standpoint, like what do you think is like the best, like bang for your buck if you were going to go on a out of state or like a destination style hunt?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, it's really what you like, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of dudes who like turkeys. Like, there's a lot of dudes who like bear. Like, dude, I've killed two bears in my life. I killed one out in Montana in the spring. That was a couple years ago. And like, dude, I'm not a big fan of the meat, man. So like, for me to go back out and like target bear, whereas like I'm not really gonna enjoy the meat, it ain't really like super super much of a thrill for me. You know what I mean? But dude, that's like a tough question, man. Like, you got to just do your research. Like, it's gonna cost you money regardless, you know what I mean? Like, fuel prices, like how long your trip is, you know, like everything costs money. But like, dude, turkey's not that expensive to do, you know, especially if you're trying to like save money like I am. Like, dude, hit Costco before you leave, stock up on a lot of groceries, you know what I mean? So you're not actually out there spending money at gas stations and stuff like that. And dude, you're going to lose weight, man. Like, you're not going to eat the best. Like, you're definitely going to be hungry a little bit, but like, you just got to suck it up, you know, and stay in your truck. Like, dude, it is not pretty by any standpoint, you know what I mean? But dude, heck, getting a hotel every single night, that would have been like over $150, you know what I mean? But yeah, dude, I don't know, man. That's a tough question. That's a tough question.
Well, I'll rephrase it then.
All yeah. Right.
So let's say that I gave Lane.
Yeah.
And you can't just pocket the money.
And say no,
this is what I'm going to do. If I said, here's $1,000 for you to go hunt anywhere you want, anything, but it can't be within, it can't be in your home state, and it can't be within like an hour drive.
Okay.
Like, so if you're like, you know, well, I live, you know, in Lancaster, so I'm going to drive, you know, to Maryland, or I'm going to drive to Delaware or something like that. Like, you know, if you had $1,000 to hunt, not your own state and not like the adjacent state that's just over the turnpike or whatever.
Yeah.
What would you
do? Dude, I love Kansas, man. There's just something about the Midwest. It's expensive. Like half that $1,000 would right initially go to tag, at least for deer. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm talking about from a deer standpoint, which for me, like I said, dude, I'm not a turkey hunter. Like, I like turkeys now, you know what I mean? But like, dude, I'm just a killer, but I like freaking deer. So like, I'd rather put my eggs in the deer basket. I would probably hit Kansas with that 500 or with that, you know, 500, and then spend the rest of it for, you know, basically a free trip out there pretty much.
Right. Cause
plus
I think
some more,
cause I think that that's what holds a lot of guys back. It's like, well, I don't know where to go, or I don't know, you know, for us, like, you know, Ohio, and even for you, like, it's not that far. The tag's pretty cheap. There's big deer in Ohio.
Oh, wow.
And I think it's a great, like, you know, first hunt if you're going to go hunt, like, public or whatever, and really get to see, you know, what the deer are, even just driving around and seeing deer in fields and stuff like that. I mean, there's some slammers, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, the first year that we went down there, like, we got there late. And Frank and I were driving, and there, you know, deer like bedded up with does like inside a private fence, and you're like, oh my God, like, seriously, dude.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Like, I want to go do some like spot and stalk, like ground hunting. That's what my brother does in South Dakota.
Yeah.
And I think that would be like the ultimate. I hunted a lot more on the ground this year. And I want to get out somewhere to do some stuff like that. But there's so many people that are like budget conscious, or they're like, okay, well, you know, I don't want to spend a lot of money, or if I'm going to spend money,
I'm going to go to Outfitter or something like that. So, mm-hmm. you know, from a guy that's traveled around and done a lot of hunting, I think it holds a lot of weight, whether it's just that you like deer. So what draws you to Kansas? Like why is Kansas the spot?
Just big bucks, man. And it's kind of a nice variety. Like you got that farmland, you know what I mean? You got like little river bottoms, creek bottoms. You got some not crazy like mountains, but like, you know, there's hills out there. And it's just, I don't know, man. There's something special about Kansas. Like just seeing the sunrise come up in Kansas. It's just like, dude, I'm in the Midwest, especially for like an Eastern boy. Like, dude, you know, you've looked at like North American whitetail or like any QDMA magazine, you know what I mean? And it's just like, oh, Kansas, Kansas, Kansas. You need to see slammer. So like, growing up, man, I just was like, oh, Kansas, Iowa, you know what I mean? Missouri, like, I want to go out there. I want to, like, live out there. I want to be out there. And then actually doing it this year, like, dude, it was nuts. You know, at least this was the first year that deer hunted Kansas. And, dude, I would go back in a heartbeat, like, obviously.
So did you have to – go on your first draw or did you have a point and then go?
Nah, for when our first draw.
Okay.
Yeah, first draw. We actually – put in as a group, so it kind of helped our odds a little bit, you know what I mean? But I mean, I got buddies who freaking, dude, they saw that I was putting in, they're like, dude, well, screw it, man, I'll put in too, like by themselves, and dude, they drew, you know what I mean? So but then like another person that didn't was like Jake Bush, you know what I mean? So it like, yeah, I mean, it's definitely taking a chance. And I mean, dude, I might not even draw this year with my group, you know what I mean? Who knows? Like, but if I don't, dude, I'm hitting Oklahoma.
And what's the system?
I got my hunt license. What?
I said, what's the system for Oklahoma? Do you got a draw or anything? Or
just nah, it's just over the counter. Yeah, it's just over the counter. Dude, I saw some good deer stuff too. And I mean, I was seeing a lot of deer. And like you said, like it'd be a lot of that spot and stalking, dude. Because all the trees, dude, it's like little brush trees. You know what I mean? Like you ain't getting a saddle on that. You ain't getting anything in there. So like you're pretty much ground hunting or spotting and stalking. But dude, I saw a pile of deer in Oklahoma.
Yeah. Well, from what I hear from you, I may be hunting Kansas this year because I couldn't figure out like where to buy a point. Like, oh, yeah. I was just going to buy a point. So I just applied.
Yeah.
So I just applied for some random area.
Like, really?
Oh, yeah.
What unit, you know?
I don't know. Somewhere in the middle. It was like 11 and 9 or 11 and 13 or something.
That's cool.
I went on their website and looked and to see like where the most like public land bucks and everything. So I was like, I don't know, but I couldn't figure out. And like, I had my buddies, I was like, hey, you can put in for a point for Kansas. And they're like, okay. And they could, my one buddy called and then the other, then at least he got to tell the other buddy like where to do it. And I was like, I didn't know. I just applied. So I'm like, yeah, maybe I'll be in Kansas.
Dude, that'd be sweet, man. Well, if you're in Kansas, let me know. We'll try to meet up.
Right. But yeah, man. So what else you got for guys that are like trying to do some out of state turkey stuff? Like,
Like tips? Take the leap, man. I mean, I don't know. Like, just do it, man. Like, you can do it. You can think about a lot of stuff in your head. Like, the entire way driving out to Kansas, the entire way, dude, I was like, if I don't kill a bird in Kansas, like, I am the biggest failure, man. Like, the entire time, I was just thinking, like, running over in my mind, like, dude, I'm killing a bird. I'm killing a bird. I'm going to kill a bird. Like, you know, and just freaking making it happen, dude, you know, like, just don't be afraid, you know, change up the tactics, be aggressive, dude. And that's how I killed all these birds, was like making moves on them. If I would have just sat back and been like, I don't know, like, I hate to say a traditional turkey hunter, but like one that just like, all right, I'm killing this turkey right here on this tree, you know what I mean? And just calling, calling, calling. Dude, I wouldn't have killed, I might have killed an Eastern, you know what I mean? But like, dude, they're like, you got to get in these birds' bubbles and like be aggressive with them. At least that's my thinking.
So, From that standpoint, that's one thing, like watching that Kansas video, I was wondering, because you say, oh, well, I'm not a turkey guy, I'm a deer guy.
Yeah.
And I think it gets in a lot of people's heads about, and it gets in my head, because my father-in-law, Frank, is an excellent, like, turkey caller. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I feel like I've learned a lot from him and like I can hold my own, but I don't have the confidence to be like, oh, I know that turkey's coming. Like whether, you know, I heard him gobble and like, now we're just going to sit here for 2 hours because I know he's going to work his way over here. Like, no, I'm trying to figure out, I'm trying to get closer to him. I'm trying to figure out like what's going on because I don't really have the confidence to call that bird to me. Like I've done it. I mean, I've killed birds that I've called in, you know, from a long ways away, but not,
you know, in my head, I don't have that confidence. So that was why it was so cool with the gun. Cause I'm like, we're moving. Like we're going to go, like you said, I'm going to go till I can locate those birds. And then I can, I'm confident that I can draw the hens to me. They're either going to take their birds away or they're just going to slowly work to me. And that's what was happening. But for you as like a self-proclaimed not turkey guy, like where are you at with the confidence in calling and all that? Cause you didn't seem to call that much, you know, on there. It was just more of like the tactics type stuff. So.
Yeah, dude, I mean, like, dude, I'm not a good caller, man. I'll be the first to admit it. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't sitting here saying, dude, I'm going to enter the National Wild Turkey Federation calling contest next year. Dude, my turkey calling sucks. You know what I mean? But just like, having that mindset of like the entire time those birds worked out in that field, all I was thinking about was, dang, dude, if I would have set up differently this morning right off the bat and been in that dead tree, I would have already had a bird dead. And then I was like, if they like go back in the woods, I got to do something because they're not coming up top here. Like there's no, I was sitting here calling all morning like you've seen, you know what I mean? Like I don't think I was like over calling, but like every time I'd call, man, they'd gobble, you know? And like, yeah. I don't really know, man. Just freaking, you know, just trusting your gut pretty much. Once they work back in the woods and I seen like, all right, they're in the woods. They're probably not going to see me if I make this quick move and use like cover to my advantage. You know, I didn't cut right across the field and like, you know, just freaking run over there. Like, dude, I was real stealthy. Like it took me a while, you know, got my feet wet a little bit, like, and just slowly just worked over, dude. And just freaking like I pinned where that dead tree was about. And I was like, all right, I got to use that creek bottom, get the whole way over there, and then just pop up and be right in that tree. And that's what I did, dude. And then I sat there for, you know, 30, 45 minutes, maybe a little longer. And then he finally gobbled. And I was like, all right, man, he's in here and he's probably going to come back out, is my guess. And sure enough, that's what he did.
So, like, from, I guess, back to the gear type of it, just real quick, because of the way that you set up and kind of what you were talking about there, like, what was your decoy setup and what was your thoughts on using the decoy that, you know, maybe even didn't even match the turkeys that you were hunting, right?
Yeah. Well, it's like I said, dude, I'm a cheap dude. So like, I don't have any DSD or Avian X's or like anything like that. Like I got a freaking flex tone. Like I think I got it when Kinsey's was having their spring sale, you know what I mean? For like 20 some bucks. Like, dude, it's nice. And then it looks decent, but yeah, that's really the only decoy I use. And I hate wearing vests, dude. So like I don't have a turkey vest. I have a little like fanny pack that I got from this Army Surplus store for like 10 bucks. Dude, it holds everything I need, man, you know. And then I got that trophy line backpack that I was using for deer season, pretty much just in the saddle thing, boop, strap that decoy right in, and that's just was my pack, you know what I mean? And yeah, like decoy situation, I meant it really just depends on what you're hunting in time of year. You know, if I was going out early season, I also have like a flex tone freaking full body strutter. You know what I mean? I probably would have took that thing and that flex tone hen. But like, since it was so late, I was like, dude, I'm not taking a freaking strutter decoy. I'm just run with a hen, you know? And honest to God, like, since it was open field, I really think that's like kind of what killed that bird, because I called. And if you look in the video, like he had a hen with him, you know, and he's following that hen. He kind of turns and you can kind of see him like get like he sees the decoy and he's like, all right, there's a turkey over here. I'm going to go like check it out. You know what I mean? And then he just freaking comes right in and that's when I shoot him. But so I think it's all really situational, you know, using decoys and stuff. Like if you're in thick cover or like, you know, in some hardwood stuff where you can't really see super far, is it super important to use a decoy? Probably not. But like in a field situation, I'd say it's pretty important to use decoy.
I feel like you're getting better at this podcasting stuff because you just use situational. Like if we were playing podcast bingo, like check it off. Got it.
My bad, dude. I suck at podcasts, dude. It's just fun kind of just talking and bullshitting with you. You know what I mean? But like, dude, I'm not, you know, anything I do is not like, it's just what I did at the time and it freaking felt right. And it might've worked. It might not have worked, but that's just kind of my takeaway from it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
No, I mean, I love it because like, that's why I like I'm going to say it in the intro, this, like this guy, if Lane doesn't get you like pumped up to go hunt like out of state and like, then you're in this for the wrong reasons. Right. and that's what I love about it. Cause people, I mean, we've killed a lot of turkeys like in the timber with no with no decoys. I've had plenty of perfect decoy setups that turkeys come down, see the decoys, and they're gone. So, so like going to other states, going and you know, for you running the single hen, like, like I think that that's important, because I think for the listener, like, everybody wants to remember that you need, you gotta have David Smith decoys, you know, like, you gotta have, like, my Avian X decoy is the one that I shot with the broadhead, and I got it's filled with foam right now, you know, because you know, that's, it looks nice, but it, you know, can't take a hit, right? But it just ends up regular guys that are passionate. It's like the passion that comes through. Like, that's why, you know, there's so many experts out there, you know, these armchair experts. And there's so many guys that go out and they may have done exactly what you did, and now they're the authority on it, right? And so it's very intimidating for guys to listen to and say, oh, I can do that. No, that guy's awesome. Like, he's a great caller. He's got these great decoys, you know. He's got the truck top camper thing, you know. He's got all the stuff. Like, I don't have that, so I can't do that. And then you talk to you, and you're just, you know, like, man, if I could save another $25, like, that's, that's, you know, some more gas money, you know? I think that that's what we need more of. And we need, and, you know, you're videoing, you're putting your stuff out there, and you're, you know, you're doing that at a high level too. But, like, your priorities, I think, are more in line with our priorities than in the listener priorities, you know? So, so that's the thing. I just think that there's so many, in the situational thing, I think there's a lot of guys that are really, really good, like, killers that, that have a hard time articulating, like, what they see, because they go out there and they see this and whatever. But in your situation there, like, you didn't have, you know, a spread of decoys, like, to choose from. And you had limited space in your vehicle, even if you did want, like, you know, you don't, I don't like carrying a big strutting decoy, like, with me, like, from here to the public land. So I'm not carrying it across freaking halfway across the country in, you know, I've got to move it to sleep. Right. That's not, it's not happening. So, so I think that that's the important part of all of this is, like I said, like, your energy and, like, your ability to go out and do it and just say, hey, I'm going to do this. And, you know, then you're successful too. You know, that's what I think is great. It's, you don't have to be an expert. I mean, I think your successes kind of speak for themselves at that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, dude, I'm not an expert, dude. I'm 26 years old, man. Like, I'm still just a baby at all this. You know what I mean? Like, I'm still just learning. And, like, dude, I don't know. Like, dude, I learn the best when I actually, like, go out and do something and try new things and experience stuff. So, like, you know, I've already done these out of state trips a lot, like, you know, and I've kind of just learned over the years, like, all right, what's important to take, what's not, you know what I mean? And just, like, the organization of the vehicle, just, like, I don't know, man, just everything. But you're not going to learn it by just, like, listening to me or listening to anyone and try to explain it. Like, you're only going to learn stuff by actually getting up and doing it for yourself, you know? So,
yeah, no. And that's why I love talking to you. It's that attitude right there is, you know, you can, we second guess our, like you said, driving out to Kansas, like, I'm going to be such a failure if I don't kill something, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, the inverse of that is driving home and not killing anything. And you're like, man, I suck. Like, this is terrible. Yeah, like, or the opposite of it. And, like, man, like, that was a great time, you know, like, you taking the good stuff out of it, like, back and forth, right?
Yeah.
It's like, I think a lot of people are really, like, super hard on themselves because, you know, you spent money to go do that. And, like, you weren't at work. Like, you know, you don't, it isn't like a contest all the time. And there's some people that would fight me tooth and nail. Like, if I'm going out there, I'm shooting the spike or 4-point on the last day because I'm not coming home with nothing. And it's like, I don't know. That's not me either, you know?
Yeah, it's all what you want, man. It's all what you want. You know what I mean? I mean, don't get me wrong. I've shot plenty of spikes, shot plenty of jakes. You know what I mean? Like, It's what I wanted at the time, man. So it really, it boils down to like the person you are and what makes it successful. You know, like, yeah, I said I was going to be a failure if I didn't come home with Kansas with a bird. But like, honestly, I just didn't want to come home like not killing anything. You know what I mean? Like, I success for me, I hate saying it, but like, dude, I like killing stuff. So like, success for me is killing, you know what I mean? But I mean, don't get me wrong, dude, if I could spend time deer scouting too in Kansas and not have killed a bird, dude, I would have been just as happy with that too. I've been like, well, you know what, this fall, if I draw, I'm going out to Kansas and I got a solid game plan of where I'm gonna hunt, you know? So
yeah, and I think that goes to the time in the woods and like the getting out there and doing it thing. So
yeah,
man, that's freaking awesome. So dude, I really appreciate having you on here and yeah, you know, taking some time. I know you're busy dude too, you know.
Try about to wake up. What'd you say?
I say just out trying to make some money so you can go do some more hunting. Yeah. Work less, hunt more, you know.
Oh, I know, dude. I'm about to wake up at like 2 o'clock here and drive down to Maryland to hunt for like 2 hours before I go to work, but it's all right. It'll be worth it.
So we always ask, you know, we didn't talk much bow hunting on here. We'll have to reconvene later on in the year. But what's your bow setup? Like, what are you shooting?
No, I just got that PSC Mach 34 right now. And dude, honestly, like, I haven't been shooting a lot. I had an Evo FX 30 that I actually just sold to my buddy. But yeah, I'm going to be using the Mach 34 this year. I'm not like, dude, it's light. It's a carbon bow. Like, it's so nice. But the only thing that I'm kind of kicking myself in is like, it's 34, like axle. It's just, like hunting on the ground, hunting out of the saddle, hunting how I do. It might be a little rough, but we'll see. This will be like my longest axle bow I had. I had like a 33 inch one before, and I mean, it shot good, you know? So I don't know. Like, I'm going to be happy to try it. I haven't really been shooting a whole lot, to be honest with you. Like, here directly, I'm going to start like, you know, fine tuning it and like really shooting a lot, but I've just been kind of focusing on turkey right now and just working, trying to save, you know?
So what's the setup? Like, what sight and rest and all that arrow?
Oh, just everything? Yeah, just whatever that Redline company gave me. So I got an RL one, I think, single pin. Got like a Redline 8-inch stabilizer. No, 6-inch stabilizer. Got their 5-arrow quiver on it. And then I got a QAD ultra rest or whatever. So
yeah, I just ordered one of those RL ones for Frank for tack, and I got the carbon one right there. That's RL3. I love that 5-arrow quiver is freaking awesome. Like, I love that thing.
Dude, it's light, but I don't like the bracket for it.
I was like, just gonna say, it's like hard to get in and out of there,
dude. It's a pain, dude. Like, sometimes even during this hunt season, like, I'd have to take an arrow out and like rack it, you know what I mean? And then like, it was kind of a pain, to be honest with you. Like, I figured it out a little bit more and it's kind of gotten a little smoother, but there's been times where it like just bunches up on me and I'm like, dude, this is a pain in the dick, you know what I mean? But
oh yeah, and that is exactly what I was gonna say. And I even talked to them about it and they're like, oh, I think it'll like loosen up over time, but it's like, it just doesn't, it's just like too tight. And actually I may just sand it down because I think it'll slide in there like on the bracket, but I really do like that quiver compared to like some of the other ones that I've been running in. And I do like that.
What's your opinion on the sights? Do you like their sights too?
So that's why I mean, like I said, I just ordered one. Like, they sent me one, and then they were like, oh, there's might be a problem with that one or whatever, so they sent me this one. 900 with it last year, and, like, I got them, like, even before they came out. Maybe you did, too.
Oh, I did, too. Mine doesn't even have the red line, like, symbol. Oh, it does, but it's upside down. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I got one of the first ones, dude.
Yeah, so we completely, like, deconstructed it and changed it because, like, I couldn't get it, like, down as far as I could. So we were like, if we flip this housing over, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And so I was on the phone with the guy that designed the site, like out in Montana.
Yeah.
And, we were like working through the whole thing, but the only thing I don't like about this site really is shooting indoors. Like, the pins aren't bright enough.
Yeah.
And we talked about that. Like, the fiber in it could be a little better. Like, they went with like a medium range thing, and that's why they gave you that sight light.
Yeah.
And the sight light, it isn't bright enough. Like, it's not user friendly. Like, that's what I don't like about it.
Yeah, but, I haven't even put my like flashlight or whatever the sight light on. I haven't put it on. But just the sight tape they gave you, dude, is junk. Like I've just basically like make my own lines on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've got like both sides of that. Like I don't mind it. Like I just actually took old. I have it cut up right there for my brother-in-law. We went and because we're getting ready for the Michigan TAC.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And we set up the site for him, but it's a old spot hog, and he doesn't know where anything is. It's like I gave him all the stuff, and he's like, I don't know where the tapes are. So I took we shot it all the way out to like 80, and so we just marked it all off, and then I came back here and found those red line tapes, and I took one and just lined it all up, and so now he's got a tape for that. But I don't like those vertical ones. Like, I really like the wheel style better.
Yeah, the HHA ones, dude, are sick, man.
Well, just the way that the sight tape is. Like, because you don't, I don't know. And it's just me, but, like, I've always had it where, like, it either goes up past it or down below.
Yeah.
And I think the wheel, having the tape on the wheel is better. And that's what the Spot Hog one does. But but my thing is like why we ordered that one is for the money. If you're gonna order a single pin slider sight for $130, like it's hard to beat. Because when I got it, I fully expected it to be like all polymer and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like aluminum, like nice.
Yeah.
And then the carbon one's like super light, but the housing, like everything is like sturdy. And mm-hmm. I think if I were to gauge like from what you've told me, you're a lot more like me than most of the other guys. And what I mean by that is like, I use the shit out of my stuff.
Oh, and I beat the piss out of it.
My maintenance is very, very little. Oh, like,
yep.
and so I need it to be able to withstand like what I'm going to do to it. You know?
I know.
So that's another thing that I like about their site is that it's, I don't feel like I'm going to break it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, like that stuff's good. Like for the money, like it's great. It's hard to compare it to the HHA site because it's a $540 site or something like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know, you know, I mean, same thing with your bow though. I mean, $2,000 bow, like bare bow.
Yeah, but dude, I meant like I said before, man, I'm a cheap wad, so like you put two and two together, but
yeah,
how much did I pay for this bell?
Right, yeah.
You know.
But, yeah, I hear you. But
yeah.
But yeah, man. So if people want to follow along with your like they want to see I'm gonna post the video like online, like on our website too.
Cool, man.
But like if people want to follow along like what you're doing and like follow along with your exploits. Where can they do that?
Yeah, so Instagram, In the Presence Hunt, I run that account. And then also I post on my own account, you know, Lane Ausner. And then if you look on YouTube, In the Presence Hunting, I'll pop right up for you. Pretty much every hunt we talked about on here is on there. You know, you can go on and watch it. I'm sure when you be hearing this, I'm sure maybe a turkey episode or two will be out. You know, maybe Oklahoma, maybe New Mexico. But so far, I got the Kansas one out. But yeah.
Awesome, dude. I appreciate it. And, you know, good luck to the rest of the season. I'm sure we'll catch up here or there.
Oh, yeah. Sounds good. But, yeah, thanks for having me on, bud. I appreciate it. It's always fun talking to you.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Have a good one.